Welcome to another episode of Behind the Sermon. My name is Scott Allen.
And I'm Russell Franz.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about Russell's sermon that he just preached on June the 15th?
14th.
Yeah. Now, if you haven't had a chance to hear the sermon, now might be a good time to do that. Go on over to our website, grapevinechurch.com, and look under the button that says Sermon Videos. You'll be able to find Russell's sermon. It's on the Control Alt Delete series, and I tell you, Russell, I really like the title of this week's sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative lifestyles.
Yeah.
Did that get a lot of weird looks whenever you were preaching on Sunday?
I don't know. No, I know it had me kind of stressed out a little bit as I began to think about all the stuff we've heard over the last few weeks on what the alternative lifestyle is.
And depending on when you're listening to this, it has been a very interesting few weeks in June of 2015.
Yes, it has.
One of the most iconic sportsmen in the history of American athletics, mm-hmm. I would say Bruce Jenner, has now started his gender reassignment.
Right.
And he is now Caitlyn Jenner. That's caused a lot of conversation.
Absolutely.
And especially within the church. So your sermon, Alternative Lifestyle, just mm-hmm. give us a quick summary of what you're talking about, and then we'll go a little deeper.
Well, I mean, as I looked at it, I was fascinated by what Jesus was calling his disciples to, this lifestyle that Jesus was calling them to. And I think it is even more alternative than the image of an alternative lifestyle in today's world looks like. I think Jesus was pushing us to go beyond the limits of what our thought is on that. And even what the world's thought is on that, to a point where the world just looks at how we treat people and how we love people and how we are with people and just looks at it and goes, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It is beyond any kind of alternative lifestyle that we can ever think of. And I think that's kind of where I was trying to go with it is that's what Jesus is calling us to. And even more than what we may rationally think Jesus is calling us to, that he is probably calling us even past that idea. So whatever idea we have of what it looks like to follow Jesus, I think Jesus says, take it a step further.
So your text was in Mark chapter 8, and reading from the New Living Translation, it basically says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. I've always found this an interesting text because Jesus is saying this before he goes to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So before the cross is really that iconic
right.
of an image for Christians,
mm-hmm.
Jesus is still talking about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why, I wonder, why did he say that? You know?
Yeah.
Why that image?
Well, because I still think the cross, while it wasn't emblazoned inside the minds of the Christian just yet, I think the cross in and of itself was just an image of death and despair and destruction and loss and weakness. I mean, the cross was power for the Romans and weakness for the Jews. It was what the Romans could do to a Jew or any criminal
at
any possible moment, and that's how they showed their power.
The Jews could never do that to anyone else
no.
without express written consent.
of
Rome.
And so here Jesus is saying, pick up this instrument of death and carry it with you as if you're going to your death, which we see later is what Jesus does, is he carries his cross to Golgotha. The idea that your death is that the death of yourself is that close when you follow me. You're always moving into dying, that's a really difficult image from when you're used to our images of blessing and love and life and wealth and always this attaining for more. And Jesus says, well, you're more attaining toward your death. You're more living into your death.
What's interesting is that, yeah. as we try to encourage people to choose the life of Jesus, this is not something we typically put on our brochure.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Hey, join the way of Jesus and you're going to die miserably. Come on.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, this isn't going to be, you're not going to be in control of what this is going to look like.
It's not the typical, it is truly an alternative lifestyle.
Yes, I think so.
So my question is, you were talking in your sermon about about, you know, things that we should do, how we should treat others. You know, mm-hmm. one of those things that, if I remember correctly, you were talking about some ways that we would give ourselves away.
Mm-hmm.
So could you talk a little bit about those?
I think I said three of them, but I look at it as three of the ways I look at it is radical hospitality, exorbitant giving, and audacious love. And I'm always struck by what Jesus says, this idea of denying yourself and picking up your cross. And when you talk about hospitality, giving, and love, you know, not just doing it for our friends or our brothers and sisters, because I think Jesus looks at that and says even the pagans do that. Even the world does that. The world takes care of its own.
So in that line of thinking, our idea is radical hospitality is, hey, we need to invite people over more. And then radical giving, exorbitant giving, is, you know, I really need to tithe. And whenever you say, what is it, love?
Audacious
love. We say, you know, we really need to be nicer.
Yeah.
And I think we dumb those down.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of ways to think, well, I'm doing it. I'm doing this life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm not even doing this life.
Right.
Fully.
I think that's what makes it so hard is, again, we create the line and Jesus says, push past the line. So, you know, I'm nice to my neighbor, which is good, but Jesus says, don't just open your home to the neighbors that you like. Open your home to all of your neighbors.
What if they're a little sketchy and they might steal from you?
I think we've talked about this, but Jesus says doesn't matter. To prove that your home, your stuff is not your own, you're willing to give it, open it up and give it away to somebody else. You know, the same thing with giving, like not just tithing. I think that's the cop out. I'm giving my 10%. I'm willing to give to the person, and I don't know what that person's going to do with it. And I'm not going to be the judge, jury, and executioner of who gets this money. But it is mine to give away to others no matter what. Which is hard in this world when we want to decide who gets it and who doesn't get it. I think that's the beauty of Jesus saying, don't just give your cloak to the Roman centurion who asks you to go a mile, but give everything and then go the extra mile. So imagine giving all of your stuff to the most vile of enemies that you can think of. Jesus says that's what you're supposed to do. So think about giving in that situation of what that really looks like.
So giving is definitely not simply financial. We're talking about mm-hmm. giving yourself away.
Absolutely, yeah.
For the sake of it, of the world.
Yeah.
So, and this idea of audacious love. Okay, this is a little harder.
Yeah, this is real hard.
Because we go to church and we know that there are people in this church who do not like us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that irritate us too.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how far and how wide is the love supposed to go? For everyone?
Yeah.
I mean what about...
The real Bible answer is yes.
Yes, Jesus is the Bible answer. But, okay, bringing it down to more realistically... Speaking, what about those people who are threats against our country, threats against our way of life, threats against our church even, those people in our church who we think, oh, they're here to
mm-hmm.
to kind of change things and to make us into something that we're not supposed to be. I mean, what does it look like to love them? You got a couple minutes to share that?
You just, I mean... You're for them. That's what it looks like. You are for them no matter what. We try to think that we're trying to defeat someone or beat someone or like we win if something happens, but that's not it. Yes, there are going to be people who don't like you. You don't like them. They think that you're trying to destroy things. And in the midst of that, all you can do is be for them in every step of the way, which means you are there to help in any possible need they have. You're there to listen. Even when they're willing to spew things at you that are vile and ugly. And by the way, you don't have the right to come back at them with the same vile and ugliness that they are, that they give you. Instead, you show them the compassion and the mercy and the love.
I thought tough love was in Scripture. Isn't there tough love?
No, yeah, tough love was going to the cross. I mean, as tough as it gets is you're willing to give your very last breath for the sake of that person who may not love you, but I don't know. Jesus just doesn't. I think Jesus looks at it and just says, "Guys, whatever you have in your mind, it looks completely.
So
it's further than that.
How far do we go, man? How far do we take this? How far does it go? Are we supposed to be a doormat for everyone?
It goes to the cross. it goes to the cross. I mean, the beauty of pick up your cross, it goes to the cross, which doormat, you know, yes. I mean, I don't know, as more and more as I study, yes. And it means, and it's not doormat in the sense that you're weak or you, I'm trying to think of it. I think you brought it up. You said it better.
Yeah. The thing that I'm thinking about, because I've heard this before, people say, I don't want to be a doormat for them. And I'm like, well, are they controlling you? Yeah. Are they manipulating you? And yeah. To me, Jesus was not a doormat for anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, the only reason that things happened to him the way they did is because he gave himself. He gave himself away. The only person who was controlling or manipulating him at all was God, because right. he allowed him to.
Right.
But the Romans didn't win. They were doing exactly what Jesus let them do.
Yes.
And it had nothing to do with them being so. So
go to the cross. That's what it is. Audacious love is a love that is formed in the shape of the cross.
And I tell you, there are so many other avenues we could go around, because some people think, so does this mean I just need to cower in my house if I'm in an abusive relationship, or do I need to do this? And those are whole different conversations,
right,
you know,
right.
about what it means to give yourself away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the heart of it, it means to be selfless.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean to be, you know, there is a courageous selflessness that I think we don't see too much of. We see a lot of fearful selflessness, which means people are so afraid that they are just going to let anything happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's what we're talking about at all. I think we're talking about a courageous willingness to give ourselves away. Romans 12 says, you know, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, this is your spiritual act of worship. I love that.
Yeah.
Because that takes courage. Mm-hmm. So anyways, as we close out this conversation, I cannot help but be struck at how we see Caitlyn Jenner now.
Mm-hmm.
We look at her, and a lot of us cannot understand what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
We are so confused by the choice that this person has made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of me thinks, should the world not be looking at Christians in the exact same way? That we cannot believe you would not choose our way. We cannot believe that you have gone completely against society and chosen Jesus. He lost,
right?
You know, so I think that it's, people are going to probably kill me for saying that we should, you know, be seen as Caitlyn Jenner is being seen, but the point is that how do people see us? Do people see us as a group of people who are radically devoted to Jesus Christ, or are we just still part of the culture and we also have chosen to follow Jesus?
Right. Well, I think to follow Jesus, and that's, I think that's where we've lost it, because it's like, to follow Jesus, the world so much looks at us as, to follow Jesus is to be against so many things. Like, we're known more for what we're against.
Right.
Instead, to follow Jesus is to be for all humanity. I mean, to follow Jesus is to love humanity so much that you want to be there for them, suffer with them, love them, give them what you have. Which means that while society says, why would you go that way? You're for this Jesus guy. Society is so confused, because in saying that, they still see people who are for the liberal and for the conservative, for the Republican and for the Democrat, for the person who is transgendered and for the person who's not. I mean, to be a follower of Jesus is to be for all of those people, to love all of those people, to offer your homes for all those people, to give the shirt off your back for all of those people. That's what it means. And so it's such a lifestyle that it breaks the mold of what alternative lifestyles are.
That's right. And the thing that we need to remember is that things that are happening today, nothing is new.
No.
It has been going on forever. It was around when Jesus was around.
Yeah.
And it says in John 3:17, he did not come into the world to condemn it, but that the world through Jesus might be saved.
Yeah, I think the only thing I think of we talked about is that Jesus, I would almost wish that people could look at Christians and say, you guys live in a world we don't understand. I think Jesus would say, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
My people are to build a new world.
Well, this is a good conversation. Thanks for the sermon and the words. If you haven't done it, go listen to it. If you have any questions, email us.
Catch the entire series.
Yeah, Scott@grapevinechurch.com, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great great week, and we'll see you next time. Peace.